Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall membership drive. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Americans across party and demographic lines by wide margins support expanded background checks for gun buyers, and they support laws that enable law enforcement to seize weapons from individuals identified as at risk to harm themselves or others. That's some of the results of a new Washington Post ABC News poll that also found a stark gender divide on the issue and independents siding with Democrats by a 17-point margin. Both divides could have political ramifications in 2020. Ken Rudin is the host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. He joins us every month to talk politics. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Ann.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and it is our fall membership drive. And remember, you know that listener support is the most important part of our budget. We are here to serve the community, and we can do that thanks to listener support. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. Our show today about national politics, and there is certainly a lot to talk about these days. And this hour, we have a great thank you gift to show your public radio pride. It's the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. Make a gift of $15 a month and get this brand new thank you gift. It is a charcoal gray hoodie with the 89.7 NPR News logo on it. The logo is on the front on a vintage microphone. This is our fall membership drive, and fall weather is just around the corner. You're going to want to have your very own 89.7 NPR News hoodie, hooded sweatshirt to keep you warm. Again, that's for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You know that $15 a month is a great investment in your future listening. If you listen to Morning Edition every morning and then catch All Sides during the midday and then listen to All Things Considered on the way home, you're a dedicated public radio fan. Your gift right now keeps those great programs on the air in the months to come. Gifts from listeners are the most important part of operations at 89.7 NPR News. So give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Again, make that gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 for the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. Learn more at WOSU.org or call and ask our volunteers about it at 866-897-9678. Ken Rudin, welcome back.
You know, when you said $1,500 a month, you know something? That makes sense. It's worth every penny. Come on.
Someone out there can afford it.
Let me just say one thing, though. I spent 20 years in public radio working for NPR, and I know, first of all, how many people roll their eyes at fundraising events. Oh, not another fundraiser. But anybody who loves information, anybody who loves the information that public radio gives you, they have to know that this is so crucial that WOSU, nobody would exist without their dollars. I mean, it's not just a favor we need. It's just that to keep it working and keep it running. And so the people who listen to this program and programs like it are so crucial to the future of public radio that any dollar they give is so desperately needed and so welcome. So everything that your audience does, and I know how your audience loves WOSU and loves your show, I think everything they do is just so appreciated.
You know, Ken, it's been 10 years.
This week's show? Well, oh, no, you've been on for 10 years.
I've been on for 10 years, and you came on about 2 months in. You came on for the first time, and I was so petrified. I was so nervous. And you were so kind and fun to be with and talk to over the radio. Yeah, I remember it very well.
Well, I love being on the show with you, and I love the things we talk about. And the things we've been talking about, you know, something, politics do not go away, nor should they go away. And there's always something to talk about. And sometimes it can be dreary and depressing, and sometimes it can be fun and enlightening. And I think your program brings out the best of both.
All right. So there's a Washington Post I read the Washington Post article on the poll noted that the numbers showed independents siding with Democrats by a 17-point margin on the issue of gun control, which could have political implications in 2020. What do you think?
Well, yes and no, because I mean, I've said this so many times, but if Congress was not going to do anything about guns, about the scourge of guns after the horrific shootings of second and third graders in Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012 in Connecticut, then when would they do it? So I know, yes, Democrats support it, independents support it, even Republican voters support some kind of a measure on guns. It's Republican members of Congress that don't. And it's one thing to say, yes, nationally, people are for expanded background checks. More and more people, although not a majority, more and more people support a ban on assault weapons, mm-hmm. which the Congress passed in 1994 and lasted 10 years. But the fact is that if when you go down district by district, there are a lot of members of Congress who live in rural areas where guns are a way of life, and it's not the place where people take a an automatic weapon and go and start shooting people. It's hunting, and it's again a way of life. So it's one thing to say that yes, there are national numbers support more gun regulations, but it's another to go into individual districts of certain members of Congress and find that there is no support for such guns. And that's the dilemma that everybody faces.
Isn't it also a function of gerrymandered districts where they're in safe districts? They don't have to respond necessarily.
Well, gerrymandering is another animal altogether. And the fact is that for so many districts around the country, a lot of voters don't have choices because basically, the district. Once upon a time, the districts used to be, let's say, 55 Democrat, 45 Republican, or vice versa. Now, mm-hmm. everything seems to be either an 80% Republican district or an 80% Democratic district. There's no reason to compromise. There's no reason to work across the aisle. And when you have such, you know, so much large reelection rates among so many members of Congress, there's no reason to even have to think before you vote. And that's one of the tragedies of current elections. I mean, look, everybody's been doing gerrymandering forever. In the 70s and mm-hmm. 80s, it was Democrats mostly responsible for it because they had the majorities of the state legislatures. Mm-hmm. Now the Republicans have taken to a new art level with their capture of many state legislatures after the 2010 elections. And so both parties do it, but maybe one of these days people realize it's not good for democracy. It's not good for the future of the country. And something is going to get done. Obviously, Ohio is one of those states that have new laws in place where it's less partisan, but a lot of states don't have that. For example, in North Carolina, in today's special election, North Carolina, basically the voters in North Carolina are split 50-50 between D's and R's. But after 2010, the Republicans drew the lines in such a way that I think 12 of the 15 congressional districts in North Carolina are Republican, even though that's not representative of how the voters are in that state.
But it is a tight race, is it not?
Well, we're talking about North Carolina's ninth district.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a very tight race. And here's the story about this. I mean, this is a district that the Democrats have not won since 1960. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's the battle. My prediction is that Dan will win this race because both candidates' name are Dan. Dan Bishop is the Republican. Dan McCready is the Democrat. Dan McCready ran in 2018, almost won the race. He lost by 905 votes, but then they threw out the district, threw out the results because they realized that the Republican operatives basically used illegal get out the vote and illegal absentee ballot schemes that stole votes away from the Democrats. This is not my words. Mm-hmm. This is a nonpartisan election board that decided to throw out the results. And so this is a redo of that race. The Republican back in 2018 is not running again, but Dan McCready, the Democrat, is. And while Donald Trump was in the district yesterday saying that McCready is a socialist and he'll take away your gun rights and he wants open borders and he likes sanctuary cities, the fact is that McCready doesn't like Nancy Pelosi. He's a Marine Corps veteran, combat veteran, and he's pretty conservative on some things. So look, this is a very crucial race. No matter who wins, the winner will get big bragging rights for 2020.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. And you might recognize the voice of Ken Rudin. He's a regular guest on All Sides because
National... Did you say Did you say irregular?
Well, you're that too, but I...
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
You're a regular guest. You're an irregular person. Yeah, he's host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie Podcast, which, by the way, we will put a link to on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. If Ken Rudin's conversations, if my conversations with Ken Rudin on a monthly basis are something that you value, if you value our weekly reporters roundtable on Monday mornings, it's arguably, at least anecdotally, probably the most popular show of the week. Give us a call and tell us that you want to support that. We work hard to bring you interesting people, and our conversations are in-depth. Many times we talk to a guest for an entire hour, just like Ken Rudin. You only find that on public radio. Support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Pamela McIntosh and April Toll from Columbus, both for your pledge of support. This is a very special time to become a member because for this hour only, we have political junkie Ken Rudin on the air. And for $10 a month as a sustainer, you can get a 6-month digital subscription to The Washington Post. It's a wonderful compliment to all the news and information you hear on 89.7 NPR News. I read it every day. There's certainly a lot going on in Washington, D.C., and that's why 89.7 NPR News is partnering with The Washington Post for this membership drive. Make your gift of $10 a month and you'll get a 6-month digital subscription. And that membership level also gets you access to WOSU Passport, an on-demand library of thousands of hours of PBS and WOSU TV shows. You can catch up on Victoria and Poldark, and you can binge watch Downton Abbey getting ready for the movie coming out. Get the Washington Post and WOSU Passport for a gift of just $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And I say just $10 a month. That may be exceed what you're able to give. We're asking you to give whatever you can afford. Remember that no matter what amount you give, you're supporting the news and information on 89.7 NPR News. There is power behind your gift to the station. Your gift is combined with thousands of other gifts, and all those gifts together make a powerful voice. We are listener-supported public radio. You are the power behind public radio. So give now. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It only takes a few minutes, and you get right back to the show. You know, back to that polling, I wanted to talk about the gender divide, Ken Rudin. The poll showed that women are more than twice as likely to trust Democrats in Congress than the president to handle gun laws. Now, this is a pretty focused poll. It is about gun control laws. But that is pretty much across the board, all demographics, all ages among women. You know, we've talked about the women's vote for years now. Does it matter in the final analysis?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. I mean, that we've been talking about the gender gap at least as far back as 1984, yeah, when Ronald Reagan was seeking a second term and he was running against Walter Mondale. And, of course, Walter Mondale, well aware of the gender gap, picked Geraldine Ferraro as his running mate. Now, Ronald Reagan did win the female vote in 1984. He just didn't win it as large as he won the male vote. But in the subsequent years, it seems like more women, far more women vote for Democrats, more men vote for Republicans, and that is clear. And that was especially clear in 2018 in the midterm elections, when not only did women come out in strong numbers to vote for the Democratic, but more women ran for office, mm-hmm, as Democrats than any time before. And at the same time, and now it looks like there are only 13 Republican women in the House,
it's not a shocking number it's shocking.
Given the fact that women, I think, are close to, Democratic women are close to the number 100. So a lot of it has to do with Trump. Look, you had a candidate who, with all, you know, to be completely honest, came into office running, saying many misogynist things, the Access Hollywood tape about grabbing women. I mean, it gave birth to the Me Too movement in some ways. Matter of fact, the day after he was inaugurated, came the March on Washington, the Women's March for Rights in Washington and in cities around the country. So, I mean, you know, look, Republicans have always had this weakness among female voters, but I think Trump Trump's numbers and the Trump's election in 2016 brought women's awareness, or at least activism for Democratic candidates, to an all-time high.
Yesterday, he honored the officers who took down the Dayton gunman. A raft of Ohio Republican leaders were on hand. Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley, a Democrat, was not even invited, but she was joined by congressional Democrats in Washington in a push for Senate action on gun control. The optics of that, good, bad, doesn't matter.
Well, I hate the thought. Look, I hate the thought of police work and honoring police to be a partisan issue. I should say that Nan Whaley was actually once at my house, because she was at my house for a bridal shower for a friend of hers. I just want to say that,
wow.
Yes, it's true. And she saw my Ohio button collection.
Oh,
and she saw my Ohio button collection.
I haven't seen that. Right.
Well, you know, you got to play. You have to give $1,500 a month. But I agree with you. I think there's a terribly poor optic of the fact that you exclude people while you're celebrating the incredible work that police and firefighters and everybody else are doing, and to make that a partisan issue. Just like, look, my goodness, I mean, we're now seeing weather reports being part of a partisan issue.
That was my next, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. I mean, look, it's one thing to talk about the Sharpie for 6 days,
yeah,
and tweet about it for 6 days, which has led to so many mostly humorous memes on social media.
I was on vacation when all of that broke.
Oh,
and
God.
On Facebook, Sharpie pen ads started popping up, and I'm like, what? Why are they advertising Sharpie pens on Facebook? And of course, you know, then I picked up, finally, I was out of connection with the rest of the world, thank God.
You're probably better
and,
off.
And so then I started, you know, catching up on the news. The commerce chief last week threatened to fire top employees of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, after the agency's Birmingham office contradicted the president's claim that Hurricane Dorian might hit Alabama. That's according to the New York Times.
Right.
That led to an unsigned statement late that day by NOAA disavowing its own position that Alabama was not at risk. I mean, what the heck?
Well, for one, I think my thoughts and prayers still go to the people of Alabama,
of course,
for the Hurricane Dorian, because of course. But it's one thing to laugh and giggle about the president's obsession with all these tweets about Alabama and his use of the Sharpie. But when you have government agencies being used to even threaten the firing of people who dare to disagree with the president on weather forecasting,
right?
We've
not his specialty. Yeah.
No, we've come to a new low. It's just beyond.
The acting chief scientist at NOAA told staff on yesterday that he's investigating the situation for possible violations in the agency's decision to back Trump rather than the scientists. He's speaking today at a conference in Huntsville, Alabama, just by coincidence, I guess. Is he not long for the world of NOAA?
Oh, I think we should all join Noah and get on that ark and sail away somewhere, because this is just so insane. I mean, the fact is, we also see that there was a report that Air Force refuelings flying over Scotland.
Yeah.
They fly into this airport and they drive hours and hours away from the airport just to go to the Trump resort, because it puts more money in the pocket of the Trump organization.
It's 20 minutes farther away than the other farthest hotels.
When Mike Pence,
and it's more expensive, by the way.
Exactly, and when Mike Pence was showed up for a meeting in Scotland the other day, he went 4 hours out of his way to go to the Trump resort, and Trump said, "Well, I didn't tell him to do it; I just suggested it." It's just, I mean, there's something, you know, something. Very often I'll get emails from somebody who says, you're picking on the president. He's doing a great job with taxes. He's doing a great job with conservative judges.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a great job with deregulation. My argument has never been about ideology with Donald Trump, because he was elected. He's doing a lot of what he said he would do. He would overturn Obama regulations. He would name conservatives to the court. He has been. He will cut taxes. He's done that. But to finagle and to just do things that would benefit him and his family and his companies and his pocket, is just, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And And very few people stand up and say, boy, we're against this. It's a very pliant a Republican conference in Congress. And, you know, it seems like everybody who's like all the Republicans who are standing up to Trump, people like Mark Sanford or Joe Walsh or Bill Weld, they're all out of office because they know that had they still been in office, Trump would have gotten found a way to have them booted out because this is his Republican Party. He is, like it or not, extremely popular in the Republican Party.
What is, and by the way, you just reminded me of the Republicans or maybe the Republican National Committee trying to finagle to avoid a primary if there is a challenger. What's going on?
In fairness, I mean, there are different stories here, but yeah. In fairness, like South Carolina is the perfect example, and South Carolina, which happens to be the home of Mark Sanford, but the South Carolina Republican Party will probably not have a contest in 2020. In fairness, when Barack Obama was running for re-election in 2012, when George W. Bush was running for re-election in 2004, when Ronald Reagan was running for re-election in 1984, there was very little opposition to their candidacies, and the party said, we'll save the state a lot of money, we'll just cancel the primary. Mm-hmm. So it has happened in the past.
Okay.
But the fact is that a lot of people are nervous that it may be squelching dissent within the party, and the fact that you already have a third Republican announcing. You have Mark Sanford, the former governor of South Carolina, which cracks me up that the president doesn't have the self-awareness when he mocks Mark Sanford for having a girlfriend in Argentina, mm-hmm. You know, the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, right.
For Donald Trump to make that joke about somebody else is just mind-boggling. I mean, come on, have some self-awareness of what you're saying. But anyway, the fact is that this is not completely...
It's not unprecedented, but as you pointed out, they didn't have significant opposition in those re-election years. I guess the question is, it's a choice the party makes. It's their choice no matter what.
Well, it certainly is in caucuses. In primaries, for the most part, it's a state thing.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's the caucuses, the party runs, and the primaries, the state runs. But it has happened in the past. But the fact is at least four states, Arizona, Kansas, South Carolina, and I think a fourth state, so far are talking about getting rid of it. And, again, people are upset in some ways, saying that this is once again the party's trying to squelch any kind of internal opposition to the president.
You know, listeners, if I were you, I'd be listening too. This is important information, and I don't blame you. But right now, I'm also asking you to take a couple minutes out of your listening time and give us a call. This hour of All Sides is about national politics with the one and only political junkie, Ken Rudin. And there's always something happening in politics to talk with Ken about. We have no shortage of topics. What we're missing right now is you as a member of 89.7 NPR News. So go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is our fall membership drive, and we have wonderful thank you gifts for you to our public radio junkies listening right now. I want to thank Esther Aris. Arouse from Columbus for your pledge of support. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you get the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. You can wear this all fall and winter and show everyone that you are a public radio member. Again, the hooded sweatshirt is $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, and we have sizes from small to double extra large. Pick your size at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you go to WOSU.org. I can't imagine. They don't have a picture of the hoodie there for you. If you want, you can always check out WOSU on Twitter. There are lots of our staff modeling them this week. This is our membership drive, and it is time to support All Sides. If you love our political coverage, show us that with your gift now. During an hour all about politics. Every Monday, you hear the Weekly Reporter Roundtable, and you learn about the latest things happening at Ohio Statehouse. Today, we're asking you to support your source for political news with a gift at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. As a regular listener to All Sides with Ann Fisher, you know that we bring you much more than politics. We bring you a diverse range of topics that reflect the latest news and trends in Central Ohio and well beyond. Every Tuesday, it's Tech Tuesday, and you learn about the newest app or you hear about the latest cybersecurity concern. Every Wednesday, it's Wellness Wednesday. You learn about the newest fitness trends, the latest cutting-edge research, nutrition, you name it, mental health, exercise, so many issues there. All Sides with Ann Fisher is dedicated to providing up-to-date, accurate information you can trust. We are dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. So support this station today. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And don't forget to get your 89.7 NPR News hoodie for a one-time gift of $180. Or for $15 a month as a sustainer, go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We need you to support us so that we can provide you with this kind of coverage of politics and so many other issues swirling around in our world today. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Let's talk about that Democratic field of candidates for the presidential nomination. Joe Biden remains at the front of the pack for now. What are your thoughts going into the next Democratic presidential debate on Thursday?
Well, you know, to me, it's pretty remarkable. I thought that Joe Biden did a poor job in the first debate. He didn't seem focused. He seemed on the defensive. At one point when he said, "I'm out of time," it seemed like a metaphor for what he was trying to say, because he just didn't seem to be clearly communicating what he wanted to do. I don't think he had a good second debate either. But at the same time, nothing seems to have changed since Biden got in the race back in April. He still leads the pack. He leads very strongly among African-American voters, even though Kamala Harris, who's African-American herself, tried to take him down after the first debate. But, you know, he's embellished stories, and he's made his gaffes, and there are some signs that he is every year of his 76 years. He seems sometimes he can be a little befuddled on the campaign stump, but there is genuine affection for him. There's not emotion. Here's the thing, though. There's emotion for Bernie Sanders. There's emotion for Elizabeth Warren. There doesn't seem to be that kind of emotion for Joe Biden, but they like him. They like that he was Barack Obama's loyal vice president for 8 years. They like the fact that, I mean, they like his personal stories. Everybody was touched by the passing of his son, Beau, which was so horrific and so just, you know, just such a tragic story. And even though, you know, he has a long past, and yes, he did coddle with segregationist senators in the 70s, but everybody, and not everybody did that, but that's the way things were done back in the 1970s. The fact is that this seems to be a younger, gender diverse, more demographically diverse party, and yet you have this. The leaders of the party seems to be a 76-year-old former vice president, a 77-year-old senator from Vermont who's not even a Democrat, and the youngster of the three is Elizabeth Warren, who's 70. So for all the talk about the new Democratic Party and the new, it's really more about ideology
age. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the passion is that both Warren and Bernie Sanders have shown that their ideas, well, whether or not they play to a national audience in November, and I'm not convinced they do, it certainly has excited Democratic voters.
Exactly. Some worry that 2020 will be a repeat of 2016 when Democrats split at the national convention.
Well, I mean, look, there was a lot of look. The advantage that Bernie Sanders had in 2016 is that he was the alternative to the status quo. Whatever you thought about Hillary Clinton, she was the status quo. There were accusations that the DNC put its finger on the scale to help her win the nomination. I mean, I don't know if I buy that, the fact that she won most of the primaries, she won most of the delegates. She had overwhelming support among African-American voters, which is a bedrock of the party. So she won fair and square. But you have a lot of these candidates who are just breaking from the norms of the past. I mean, it's not only Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, but Pete Buttigieg is different, and Kamala Harris is different, and Tulsi Gabbard is different. You still have 20 candidates in the race. Oh, my goodness. Although you only have 10 candidates on the stage on Thursday's debate. But, I mean, that's still a lot. And it's really, if you're asking me who's going to be the nominee, I have no clue.
Another thing that happened kind of while I was, you know, away goofing off, the president cut Pentagon funding to finance the border wall. And I'm wondering, I mean, this hits a lot of Republicans in their home states, right? I'm wondering about what his calculus was for this.
From the moment he came down that famous escalator in 2015 at Trump Tower, he said that he's going to build this wall. Of course, back then, Mexico was paying for it. Now, we thought that Congress was paying for it. And now, it seems like these other projects, these projects around the country, they will be the people who suffer the thing, because the president decided he's going to take the money away from them and put it directed towards the border wall. There are a lot of Republicans who are not wild about this idea. There are a lot of Democrats who still talk about that Congress should be has the power of the purse, and the president has no right to do this. But the fact is, the president is single-mindedly trying to make this wall happen as he promised, and he'll do anything to do it, even if it means hurting his own supporters by taking the funding away from some of their pet projects.
I guess the question is whether the Democrats can draw a line, you know, can make the connection for voters in the upcoming elections, if indeed this thing stands. But they're not, I don't know if they're very good at that sometimes.
Well, right now they're still battling among themselves. Right. There doesn't seem to be. There are some people, I always see advice given to Democrats saying, you know, the target should be Donald Trump, and that's what you should be running against, not each other. But right now there are so many different paths to the nomination that at least they think there are different paths, and they will continue to fight it out. But look, Think of the Republicans in 2016. I mean, there was Jeb Bush, and there was 16 Republican candidates running, Kasich and Christie and Paul and Ted Cruz. And while they were eating themselves up during the debate, Donald Trump was single-mindedly moving towards November of 16, and he won the election. So right now, the Democrats don't seem united. I don't know if they're making a strong case on things like that, but I'm not sure if the wall is still a top issue or a leading issue among Democratic voters. Obviously, it's about guns, it's about health care, it's about jobs, and it's about the way we treat immigrants in this country.
Thanks to Carla Berkheimer from Columbus for your pledge of support. Carla writes, love your programming. Always appreciate the wide variety of timely topics covered by Ann Fisher on all sides. Thank you, Carlo. Really appreciate that support. It means a lot. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Support public radio today. When you give $10 a month as a sustainer, you will get a six-month digital subscription to The Washington Post. And that's just not the front page and that kind of a thing. That's just a ton of information that you get. And they'll give you updates and notifications. We know our listeners love to be well-informed. You crave more knowledge and insight. You are lifelong learners. That's why you chose to listen to public radio. But Think about how much you can learn with 6 months of The Washington Post at your fingertips. Plus, $10 a month also qualifies you for access to WOSU Passport. This is an on-demand library of thousands of hours of PBS shows and shows from WOSU TV. You can watch Broad and High and Columbus Neighborhoods from WOSU Public Media, and you can watch American Experience and Finding Your Roots from PBS. Give $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. Join Carla and get 6 months of The Washington Post plus WOSU Passport. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive, and your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and all of the other great NPR programs, such as Morning Edition and All Things Considered, you depend on these programs. You trust the news and information on NPR and 89.7 NPR News. I don't take you for granted when I'm planning the shows with my staff. We're working hard to make sure that the best and the brightest are on air with us. We make sure we're covering the latest news, what people are talking about. Support your source for the news of the day and analysis of long-term trends. Don't take it for granted. Give what fits into your budget. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If $10 a month works for you, that's a couple cups of coffee, then you can get WOSU Passport and a six-month digital subscription to The Washington Post. With The Washington Post on your phone, tablet, or computer, you'll be ready to face the 2020 election fully informed. Make a gift now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Sarah Lincoln from Hilliard for your pledge of support. We appreciate it, Sarah. We appreciate you listening today. We know it's pledge, but we know that you care about being informed. I'm squeezing in as much conversation with Ken Rudin as I can in between asking for your support of this exactly of this kind of programming. This isn't a special program for Membership Drive. Ken comes on once a month. We have him on, and we value his contribution to the larger conversation about politics on 89.7 NPR News. If you value it, show your support right now. 866-897-9678. Ken Rudin, another promise from the president was that he would end the U.S. involvement in Afghanistan. And this weekend, the president announced that he had called off a planned Camp David meeting with Afghan and Taliban leaders. One focuses on the optics, the other is on the U.S. prospects in Afghanistan, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in play with that. I feel like I'm a juggler here right now, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think everybody trying to understand U.S.-Afghanistan policy is juggling as well, because, I mean, the thought, first of all, you talked about optics. The thought of having the Taliban at Camp David the week of 9/11, anniversary of 9/11, seems beyond the pale. Like, how do you miss this? How do you not see what this looks like? But a bigger story is how do you get out of Afghanistan after 18 years of war? And I don't know. There's no good answer. And I know a lot of people think I should be president of the United States, but it's not an easy job. Well, stop laughing. But it certainly isn't with Afghan policy, because you know that the moment the United States leaves Afghanistan, the Taliban is going to take over. I don't think there's any question of it. I think the Taliban knows it. I think Trump knows it. I think Trump is not only bored but frustrated by the effort, because nothing seems to be gained. And so, you know, for the president, though, to say that I'm calling off this peace talk because one American soldier died last week, that's insane, in the fact that at least 15 Americans have died in the last couple of months. At least 1,000 Afghanis have been killed by the Taliban in the last couple of months. And so the Taliban has shown no indication of stopping its rule of terror. And I don't know what they thought they're going to accomplish. The fact is that Trump wants out. He has promised he's going to get out. And I think he's going to get out whether there's a deal or not. The Taliban is in no hurry. They could wait as long as they want, because they just know that once the United States leaves and once the Afghan government is at the mercy of the Taliban, we're going to go back to the way it used to be with Taliban and the, you know, women suffering and any kinds of any pieces of freedom, any slivers of freedom being wiped out.
This issue with this meeting at Camp David being called off revealed yet again the divide between the national security team and the Secretary of State. Right? I mean, there's a lot of factionalism in the Trump administration itself.
Oh, there's that about North Korea, about Iran. Yeah. I mean, basically, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, who may very well be looking to leave next year to run for the Senate from Kansas. But Pompeo is for, you know, John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, has basically talked about wiping Iran off the face of the earth, encouraging Israel to do an attack on Iran, whereas Pompeo says, whoa, that's going a little far. So there are battles. I mean, we always talked about battles in the past. Mm-hmm. I remember during the Reagan administration, George Shultz, the Secretary of State, and Caspar Weinberger, the Secretary of Defense, had their differing opinions on so many things, Iran-Contra being among them, but for the most part, Pompeo and Bolton are not on the same page. There are hawks and there are more realistic people within the administration, and that fight continues.
Well, there are military and there's also intelligence officials. And CNN has reported that intelligence officials distrust the president with classified information so much that it was a factor in their decision to yank a valuable spy out of Moscow in 2017 out of fear that the president would tell Russian President Vladimir Putin about him. There's yet another huge chasm.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, that is a terrible, terrible story. And just go back to Helsinki, where the president said before a worldwide audience that I believe Vladimir Putin more than I believe my own intelligence agencies.
Right.
So from the moment he came into office, the president has been very suspect of the CIA and his intelligence officials and more willing to trust autocrats like Putin, which is, again, the thought. I mean, you know, you always talk about Richard Nixon rolling in his grave, but the thought of previous Republicans supporting the leader of Russia, back then the Soviet Union, over their own intelligence agencies is beyond the pale.
I was just thinking about Reagan. I'm thinking about Reagan. Well, I guess, yeah, Reagan. Just everybody. But it's a strange time. Thanks to Suzanne McCoy from Urbana for your pledge of support. We have just about 13 minutes to go in the hour with Ken Rudin, and I would rather talk with Ken. I know you'd rather listen, but I'm asking you to take just a few minutes out of your listening to make a call to us right now. 866-897-9678. If you're more fluent on the online, go to WOSU.org. Either way, it's only going to take a few minutes for you to show your support for 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive, and your support pays for the programs you listen to every day, just like this, All Sides, and all of the other great NPR programs like Morning Edition and On Point. They're paid for with listener support, and in return for your gift, we're offering you a great thank you gift. It's the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. This hoodie is charcoal gray. It has a vintage microphone on the front in white. It says 89.7 NPR News. You can wear it proudly. Thanks to Samantha Morgan from London for your pledge of support. Samantha, thanks so much for taking the time. Real quickly, it only takes a few minutes. We have local volunteers couple walls away from me. I like to say this because I like to point out that this is how they're showing their support for 89.7 NPR News. They give of their time. They have the time to give. So that's what they're giving. And they're over there taking your calls right now. So know if you call in right now, it's a local person that you'll be talking to, and it's a kindred spirit. It's somebody else who supports 89.7 NPR News, just like Samantha Morgan in London. So this just for $15 a month or a one-time donation of $180, you can show off your public radio pride with the hoodie, the 89.7 NPR News hooded sweatshirt. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You listen to local news on 89.7 NPR News every day. You depend on this station to be your trusted news source locally and nationally. We depend on you to show your support for news with a gift. Your gift to 89.7 NPR News Today, it's essential to the future of the station. You know what's going on in Columbus thanks to award-winning local news coverage from the WOSU News team. They just, you know, almost completely swept the categories again this year. You hear in-depth, thoughtful discussion about our community on all sides with Ann Fisher, and all of this essential local news, news you can trust, is only on the radio thanks to listener contributions. Do your part. Become a member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If $15 a month as a sustainer works for you, then you'll get your very own 89.7 NPR News hoodie. We have sizes small through double extra large. So make that gift now at WOSU.org or call our volunteers at 866-897-9678. We have just about 10 minutes to go now. Let's get 10 more pledges before the end of the hour. 10 more pledges, 10 minutes, easy peasy. I know we can do it. We've got the people waiting there to take your call right now, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Show your support, and you can wear the WOSU News hoodie, NPR News hoodie, with pride. I guess the number of refugees and the number of people pouring over the border in our southern border with Mexico has declined, Ken Rudin. But Bahamian evacuees seeking refuge in the U.S. could be turned away if they don't have, quote, totally proper, end quote, documentation. That's from the president. That declaration came 2 hours after the head of Customs and Border Patrol said the opposite. Again, there's a disconnect here.
There is. And that actually, I read that story and when it was happening, and I was like bowled over by it, because this is the opposite of what U.S. policy has always been. And the fact that a lot of these people were yanked off at the last second because they didn't have the proper papers, I think U.S. policy has always been, in cases of emergency, and certainly what happened to the Bahamas is more than an emergency, there would be refuge in this country because of these conditions, and to be yanked off a boat because of a policy change in mid trip is just, again, I'm here, not me, but I'm a Trump supporter. I'm listening to public radio. Mm-hmm. I love public radio, mm-hmm. but I happen to like Donald Trump. And you have this guy on saying that Trump did this, did that.
And I'm bringing it up. Yeah.
No, but I think it's important that people hear this, that there are norms that Democrats and Republicans have followed for the entire length of our democracy. I mean, just about decency and honesty and things like that. And everything, to me, seems to be upended. It's not that we're part of the conspiracy. We don't want to overturn the 2016 election. There are some things that just don't get done or never have gotten done, and they're happening now. And it's troubling to me as somebody who loves this country, who loves the history of this country, who loves the establishment of the democracy we have, and seeing everything changed and turned around because of the whim or the thing for somebody who feels a certain way and wants to change everything, you know, as a snap of fingers. It's discouraging and disheartening. And I say this because I love the politics so much. I've done this for so much of my life. It's just not the way you're supposed to be. It's just not. Have you ever heard me cry on the air?
No.
Before, by the way?
No, okay. But I think you're right. I mean, after I talk with you, there's always somebody who calls and says, there you go again. But I have to bring up these issues. That's what my job is. It doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office. It's my job to bring them up. When I'm talking national politics with Ken Rudin, that's what I do. That's what I get paid to do. And that's what I've devoted my life to as well.
But look, that's an important point. Look, remember when Obama was president, he was known as the deporter in chief. Mm-hmm. He deported more people here illegally than any president in history. We called him out on that.
We thought he was bad on press conferences.
Yes. Oh, and his relationship with the press was prickly as well. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. absolutely. And when he would send in drones and people would be indiscriminately killed, we pointed that out too. It's not that we're suddenly picking on a president. If the president does something right, like the economy is booming, and mm-hmm. the president should get credit for it. And when things go astray, or when constitutional norms are ignored, he should get called out on that as well.
Speaking of the economy, what about his calling out of the Fed chairman? I can't think of his first name. Powell.
Jerome Powell?
Jerome Powell, yeah.
Well,
and again, it's another departure from tradition. Right. It's only tradition, though, isn't it? There's no law, is there, that he can't trash the Fed chair?
Well, no, nothing. A lot of the things he does has nothing to do with law. It just has to do with common decency and norms. And we've never seen a president like this. And I think one of the reasons why so many people like President Trump is that nobody's ever seen anything like this. He's just different than politics as usual. Some people think that's very good. Some people want to jump out the window watching what they see. But he certainly is not what we've seen in the past. I mean, of the 43, now I know he's president number 45, but there's only been 44 presidents mm-hmm. because, as you well remember, Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and the 24th. Of all the 43 presidents before him, I don't think we've ever seen a Donald Trump, that's for sure. We've never seen an Ann Fisher either.
Or a Ken Rudin, for that matter.
Well, that's what radio, that's why you've never seen me.
Locally run and locally programmed, 89.7 NPR News exists to make sure that everyone in our wonderful corner of Ohio has access to vital news and information. With locally focused programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher, 89.7 NPR News addresses issues that impact our community at local, regional, and national levels. It's valuable radio, but it relies on your donations to keep it on the air. Please give now, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks to Joanna Sells from Gahanna for your pledge. That means we have 9 left to go. I was looking for 10 more pledges. We have 9 to go in just about a little over 4 minutes. We can do it. We have people who have donated their time to take your calls. Let's make this happen. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Public radio is community radio. That's why 89.7 NPR News brings you shows like this one. All Sides works hard to bring you shows every day that capture the news, the politics, and cultural interests of our region. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more with stories that affect your life, your work, and your family, and helps put into context where Central Ohio fits in to the larger national picture. But it's powered by you. Thanks to Nicholas Adams from Columbus for your pledge. That means 8 left to go and just a little, about 3.5 minutes. I know we can do this because we've got people dedicated to taking your calls right now. Or you can go online to WOSU.org. If you're already listening online, it's just a simple gesture of clicking that donate now button on the website and making it happen. It takes just a few minutes. You listen to us because you treasure a vibrant and open-minded community where people are engaged, where people work together to make Central Ohio a great place to live. That's why this station is dedicated to a two-hour daily local show like All Sides. We're here for Columbus. We're here for Powell, Grove City, Pickerington, and beyond, Urbana, London, all from all the places that people have called in from today. Deborah Frost from Columbus, thanks for your pledge. That means 7 to go and just 2.5 minutes. There is a difference between a station that just gets by and one that is at the centerpiece of a vibrant civic community like ours. And that difference, it's not me. It's you and your donation. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. These programs are paid for with listener support, and in return for your gift, we're offering a great thank you gift. I don't know if we've ever done a hoodie before, but it's the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. This hoodie is charcoal gray and has a vintage microphone on the front in white. It says 89.7 NPR News. You'll wear it with pride. For just $15 a month or a one-time donation of $180, you can show off your public radio pride with the 89.7 NPR News hooded sweatshirt. Visit WOSU.org WSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global and local. And Ken Rudin, thank you so much. I'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Ann. I love it.
Ken Rudin, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. We'll have a link to that on our website. Check it out. But before you do, go to WOSU.org and show your support for 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Stacey Nidecker from Columbus for your pledge. That means six left to go. I know there are six volunteers over there waiting for your call. We can get it. We have 1 minute left. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We need your help. We need it now. We need you to tell us if this is something that's important to you. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more with stories that affect you, your work, and your family, and it's powered by you. Never underestimate the power of you. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. There is a difference between a station that just gets by and one that is the centerpiece of the community, and that is you and your donation. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here for us.